Week 138 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. This has been a weird week, and we were kind of waiting to record until all the NFL games got played this week, but the NFL did something that was sort of unprecedented in pushing the Steelers-Ravens game all the way back to Wednesday. In fact, it's the third time that that game has been postponed. The Steelers, the best team in the league right now as far as record is concerned. The Ravens, I believe the Ravens are the ones that are struggling with some COVID issues. I saw that Marquise Pouncey, the star center for the Steelers, was placed on the COVID list today. So as far as we're aware, that game's supposed to be taking place in a couple hours from now when we're recording the show. So we won't have all the results to recap from the NFL week that was. But we are going to talk Iowa sports in both football and basketball. We're going to spend the majority of the show talking hoops, though, because a big stretch of Iowa hoops is coming up. Some really marquee games this week already across college basketball. The whole country experiencing a plethora of top showdowns between top-ranked teams. And we're going to talk about those games, including a couple huge games tonight that do affect Iowa sort of indirectly. Before we do that, let's talk Iowa football. Iowa coming off an impressive victory. I say impressive, that's sort of a generic thing to say whenever your team wins, but let's talk about it. Iowa coming off the Black Friday win over Nebraska. And, you know, it's one of those games where I think most of us counted Nebraska out too early, and I don't know why we don't learn from that. It's just every time we think we have a game figured out, at least a rivalry game like this, and Iowa State games, I think, are the same way. It's just you never really know what you're going to get. But we thought Nebraska, at least I thought Nebraska, was going to get destroyed in this game simply because I didn't see them being able to compete in the trenches. I thought Scott Frost and that coaching staff did a nice job sending different looks at Iowa defensively that hurt Iowa on the ground in the first half. And Iowa really wasn't able to get the run game going until that second half. And Tyler Goodson with good numbers. I mean, he topped 100 yards. I don't think you can complain about that, but he did carry the ball 30 times. That's bell cow numbers for Tyler Goodson. And that's a good sign for Iowa. I mean, he was able to carry it 30 times and manage. So that's good news moving forward. Iowa had problems containing Wandell Robinson, had 9 catches for 75 yards for Nebraska. Spencer Petras continues to struggle. I'm at the point now, given the circumstances with the West Division in the Big Ten, I would like to see someone else back there, at least to just give them a shot. I know people will say, oh, that's a stupid comment to make. You're not at practice. You don't see the other quarterbacks. Obviously, they're playing the best guy. I get that. I get that line of reasoning, and it makes sense, and I agree with it. I think Kirk is no question. They're playing the best player that they see in practice. The problem with that rationale is that sometimes guys perform better in games than they do in practice. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Deuce Hogan is the answer or Alex Padilla is the answer. I think right now what Iowa needs to do, and this is just, again, my opinion, this is my podcast, and this is my opinion on this, they need to put Alex Padilla in the game against Illinois and see what he can do. Do I think they're going to do that? No, I don't. But a big game coming up against Wisconsin, a game that we could almost sort of treat like a bowl game. I don't know if Iowa's going to end up in a bowl game or not. We don't know who they're going to play Champions Week on the 19th. So that Wisconsin's game's big. I mean, Iowa hasn't beaten Wisconsin since 2015. I think they've lost like 9 of 10 or something bizarre like that to the Badgers. But I think they have a good chance of winning that game this year. But this is Iowa's best wide receiving core we've seen for, I want to say, decades. Maybe that's being a little bit beyond. I think 2009 was the only receiving core that was even close to the depth and talent combined of this receiving core. I mean, you can't argue the Marvin McNutt, DJK, and, you know, they had other guys that were productive. Colin Sandeman, Trey Strauss was on that team. So it was good in 2009. But I look at this team, Amir Smith-Marset, Tyrone Tracy, Nico Reganey, Brandon Smith, and now Charlie Jones has emerged. I think, you know, I don't, again, I'm kind of guessing at this, but I would guess that he could come out and be a pretty steady receiver. They simply don't need him at receiver. He's excellent returning punts. It's just frustrating. Spencer Petras, 18 of 30 through the air, 193 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. QBR is 60.4. Again, just not a good day. I mean, you could say, well, that's decent. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was good enough to win, and I get that that's what Iowa is doing right now. They've won four straight games. They won a game manager. But, you know, Petras is making poor decisions. You know, he had a ball against Penn State a couple weeks ago that absolutely should have been picked and was just dropped. This past week, he threw a pass that was just inexplicable on a third and long, where he threw it into double coverage right to a Nebraska defender rolling out of the pocket to his left. I mean, just terrible. And listen, I'm rooting for Petras. I want to see Spencer succeed. He's got a great arm. You can tell he's got a lot of arm talent. But his decision-making has been poor. His accuracy has not been good. He has not been able to... Iowa had, I think, zero plays of over 20 yards on Saturday. Zero. On Friday. Zero plays of over 20 yards to a receiving corps that, again, features Smith Marset, Tracy Smith, Reganey, and if you want to go further down the list, Charlie Jones, Max Cooper, all guys who have proven they can catch balls. And two great tight ends. Sean Beyer with that one-handed grab, my goodness. I think he's going to have a shot in the NFL. I mean, I'm not, again, I know it's just one play, but he's looked good all year. With Iowa's pedigree at tight end, I think he'll have a chance. Maybe he won't get drafted, but somebody's going to sign him to a training camp and give him a shot. You know, and Sam LaPorta, obviously a young guy who's been great, probably the most consistent guy as far as pass catchers this year for Iowa. And he's been a safety blanket for Petras because Petras just can't throw the ball downfield. I mean, Smith Marset, his main threat should be deep crossing routes, streaks up the sideline, wheel routes. That's my opinion. I mean, we've seen him with Nate Stanley really start to develop that. We think about what he did last year, and he got involved in the backfield as well with some reverse plays. And, I mean, he's got the ability to open up an offense just himself. And then you look at a guy like Brandon Smith who's got speed, he's got size, great hands. We've seen that. Tyrone Tracy, hard to tackle. Reganey is just excellent pass catcher in general, and he's got some quickness as well. It's just totally frustrating, and I get to a point where I'm like, okay, Northwestern has clinched this division. Why not give Iowa a shot with a different quarterback, even if it's for one drive? Gives Alex Padilla one drive. I mean, I understand the naysayers that say you can't run a 2QB system, but Petras has had a chance here. Okay, he's had a shot. We're two games from the season being over, if you don't count Champions Week and whatever bowl situation they may or may not be in. So why not give the other guys at least a shot? You can't sit here and tell me that, you know, Alex Padilla, who's been in the program now, this is his second year in the program, and, you know, this is the seventh game coming up of the season, that he doesn't have the ability to come out and run one drive. I mean, see what the guy can do. When he's come in the game, that's what's frustrating about when he's come in the game. It's a handoff, 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 handoff. I get it. They're way up in these games that he's, you know, where he's come in. But that doesn't help anything. It doesn't help anything. It helps Gavin Williams, who's gotten those handoffs in a couple of those games. But it doesn't help anyone else. Give him a chance to throw the ball, to run the offense. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. A few games ago, I was to the point where I was saying, you know, Petras needs time to develop during the season. He's had six games, okay? You can't just keep saying, well, we're just going to keep giving him games so he can get better. He's not getting better. That's the problem. He's not getting any better. Maybe he'll get better next spring, but it needs to be an open competition next spring between Petras, Hogan, who's the other guy besides Padilla? Padilla and then Kapusak. Now you say, well, Kapusak's a walk-on. Hey, all the competition in the world. Iowa needs all the competition in the world, and they've got another kid. Is it... Labos, what's the kid that's coming in next week? Or next week. Next year. I'll have to check that. But Iowa, I think it's Labos. Joey Labos. Look at the Iowa recruiting class 2021. But my point is, it's just, I don't know what the downside of giving a guy like Padilla or a guy like Hogan a shot at this point. You're out of the West contention. That's official, right? Why not give someone else the chance? Now, I think there might be a shorter string for Petras now because of the situation, but I'd like to see Padilla come out on the first series and see what he can do. Everybody's calling for Hogan. No, give Padilla a shot. The kid's been around. He's obviously earned the second spot behind Petrus. Joey Labus, that's the kid. Yeah, I had that right. Joey Labus is the kid that's coming in next week. No, I keep saying next week. Next year. And he's going to have a shot. I mean, put him in the QB mix next year as well. I don't know if I was planning on running him at QB, but he's more of a dual threat QB, so I don't know. That'll be interesting. But I just think with two games to go, and if you're going to do it in the last two games, you don't throw him into the fire against Wisconsin. You do it this week. Do I think Kirk is going to do it this week? No, I don't. I just don't. I think if Petrus struggles, he comes out and throws two picks, which Illinois is known for forcing turnovers. So keep that in mind. If Illinois picks off Petrus, you know, two times in the first half, maybe we see a look at Padilla. And if we don't, I think shame on the coaching staff. I get it. They're there every day at practice. But again, there are certain guys that play a lot better during games and just simply don't play that well during practice. And maybe that's foolish thinking, but just let's just see what they've got. See what they've got. And you know, other observations from this Nebraska win. I mean, Iowa was trailing 17-10, second quarter, I believe it was. And or was it third quarter? I don't know. Whatever it was. And, I mean, it was dicey. It was dicey for a while. And Iowa's defense really ratcheted down in that second half. Nebraska went with the two QB system with Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey. We saw most of Adrian throughout the day. He had 18 of 20 for 174 yards. Good day. I mean, Iowa kept everything in front of him defensively. I mentioned Wandale Robinson, what he did. He also had six carries for 42 yards. So look at Wandale. Six carries for 42 yards, nine receptions for 75 yards. So that's 117 total yards for that young man. And he was a problem for Iowa's defense. And Iowa tends to have this tendency. They tend to allow one guy to go off. David Bell. Wandale Robinson. We saw, I think, a kid from Penn State a couple weeks ago that had a lot of yards. You look at, you know, the kid up from Purdue a couple of years ago, it was a Mahungu that just kept burning Iowa over and over and over again. Bell, of course, burned Iowa not only this year, but the year before last. So Iowa sometimes has a problem with one guy that I don't know if Phil Parker's just stubborn, doesn't want to move guys around, but he, you know, they tend to pick the zone apart. And I think we could maybe see that this week because Illinois's got a really good receiver in, is it Amator Baby? I have to look at that again, what his name is. They've got a good wide receiver, though, the Illini do. And the Illini are playing better. I mean, they destroyed Nebraska a couple weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I just think at this point, you know, Goodson, Sargent, the line's playing well. Coy Cronk's going to be back this week. I don't think we'll see Kallenberger, but the rest of the line seems to be healthy now. Tight ends are there. Wide receivers are there. Give a quarterback a shot. And maybe you want to say to Petrus, look, Spencer, maybe, you know, we're going to give you one more quarter, and maybe that's not the way to go about it, but give you a quarter, and we're going to give Padilla a quarter, and that's your competition. You didn't get a spring. We're going to give you game action here. And then, you know, based on how they play in those first two quarters, you know, play that guy in the second half. I don't know. However Kirk wants to do it, I just think at this point, it just gives someone else a shot because I think it's very clear that there's going to be an open competition at QB next year. I don't think there's any question about that. We might as well speed that process a little bit. Iowa's out of the West race. The reason they're out of the West race, because Northwestern had their game against Minnesota canceled on Saturday. And what a pathetic way. It's not Northwestern's fault, but what a sad way to clinch a division. I mean, what a sad way to clinch a division. Iowa, you know, it was a long shot as it was. We knew heading into this past week that Northwestern needed to lose their last three games. Iowa needed to win their last three games. Well, a third of that happened. Iowa beat Nebraska, and Northwestern, in shocking fashion, lost to Michigan State. So they still needed Northwestern to lose to Minnesota and Illinois. But I think Iowa has... I mean, I'm favoring Iowa this week against Illinois. I think they have a good chance against Wisconsin. It could have happened, but unfortunately, the way the Big Ten has their tiebreaker, and not their tiebreaker set up, but just their standings, the rules for standings and when games get canceled, the reason that Iowa is eliminated is because Northwestern has no opportunity to lose three games. They could lose to Illinois the last week of the season and actually have a worse record than Iowa. They'd be 6-2, or excuse me, they'd be 5-2. Iowa would be 6-2. But the Big Ten has said, well, we're going to look at loss column. We're not going to look at win percentage. We're going to look at loss column. So Iowa would lose the tiebreaker there because they lost to Northwestern. And that's no fault but their own. I mean, that Northwestern game, they had no business losing that game. Iowa should be in control. Iowa should be the drivers in the West Division right now. They should be in the driver's seat of the West Division. There's no question about it because 17-0 was the score of that Northwestern game in the first half. Should have won that game, lost it by one. Should have beaten Purdue, but I mean, that game wasn't as important. That Northwestern game, if Iowa had won that Northwestern game, Northwestern would have two losses. Iowa would have one loss. Iowa would have the tiebreaker. They'd be in control. That's the bottom line. They would be in control. But they didn't, and now Northwestern got their game canceled Saturday. So technically, unless something crazy happens and Northwestern gets a change in their schedule and plays this week, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. Iowa, there's no way Iowa can win the West. So that's why I say give somebody else a chance at QB. To me, you're playing these last couple games, you know, kind of like your postseason. So we'll see what happens there. Let's recap some of the other major results from this past week in college football. It was a fun Black Friday. I mean, Iowa State getting the win. Iowa State now, I think they've basically clinched, I think there's only like, it's like a 8% chance of them not clinching. I read something about that. Brock Purdy played spectacular football, 25 of 36 for 312 yards and a touchdown. Breece Hall was great as well, 20 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. How about Brennan Eagles for Texas, 142 yards, but it wasn't enough as the Longhorns fall to the Cyclones, 23-20. Notre Dame, the second-ranked Irish, they lose to North Carolina. They beat North Carolina, 31-17. An upset here out in Oregon. Out in Oregon. Oregon State takes down the Ducks, 41-38. And that was basically it for Friday. On Saturday, the Iron Bowl, number 1 Alabama dominated number 22 Auburn, 42-13. Clemson dominates Pittsburgh in Lawrence's first game back following his COVID spell. Texas A&M, they beat LSU 20-7. Florida blew out Kentucky 34-10. We mentioned the Northwestern loss to Michigan State. That score was 29-20, but it was closer than that. A last-second touchdown on a fumble when Northwestern was trying to lateral the ball to victory. Gave them the 9-point win. Georgia, they beat South Carolina 45-16. Indiana over Maryland 27-11. But bad news coming for the Hoosiers is Michael Penix out for the year with a torn ACL. What a sad ending to his career or his season. I don't think he's a senior. I mean, Maryland was a good team. They've been playing well, but Indiana just been tremendous this year. 5-1 in the Big Ten. Iowa could end up playing them in Champions Week, and obviously it'll be a fun game either way. But it'll be too bad that Michael Penix won't be a part of that game if they do. Number 20, Coastal Carolina, easily over Texas State. Number 23, Oklahoma State, 50-44. Classic Big 12 game there with no defense. The Cowboys win. Penn State got its first win of the season over Michigan. Michigan continues its downward spiral, 27-17. Let's see, what else we got? Any other notable scores here as I scroll down through the list? Rutgers over Purdue, 37-30. Boy, how about Rutgers? I know they're 2-4, but man, two wins in the Big Ten this year. They knock off a good Purdue team. A Purdue team, I think, was basically at total strength, at full strength with Rondell Moore back. The Rutgers are, you know, Greg Schiano, I think he's, I mean, I'd rather be a Rutgers fan right now than a Michigan fan. I mean, because, you know, Michigan's going to win games no matter what. I mean, maybe with the exception of this year, but boy, Rutgers is certainly on the upward trend, Michigan on the downward trend. At least this year. Baylor over Kansas State, 32-31. UCLA over Arizona, 27-10. Tennessee. TCU takes down Kansas, 59-23. Ohio State had its game against Illinois canceled, which was scary because Ohio State now is up against the wall, so to speak. They can't have another game canceled or they would be mathematically eliminated from Big Ten championship consideration. They're undefeated at 4-0, but they've got to play their last two games, and Ohio State's having some COVID issues. So that is a storyline to follow. Cincinnati Temple was postponed or canceled. Oklahoma West Virginia was postponed. Minnesota Wisconsin was canceled. Same reason why The Northwestern-Minnesota game was canceled. Tulsa, Houston postponed. Louisiana Tech, Florida International canceled. UTEP Rice canceled. Florida Atlantic, Middle Tennessee postponed. San Jose State, Boise State canceled. Virginia, Florida State postponed. And Western Kentucky and Charlotte was canceled. So let's take a look. We're going to do something a little differently today. We're going to make our picks early for football. Then we'll take a break, come back, talk basketball, and make our pick for tomorrow's game against Western Illinois. Let's start in, we won't go Big Ten yet. Let's scroll down here. Week 14. Well, not week 14 for the Big Ten, but week 14 for the rest of college football. We start with, Ohio State, Michigan State should be a great one. 11 a.m. on ABC. That should be a good one. Michigan State looked good last week, and if you're Ohio State, you got no room for error. You got to win every game. I don't think there's any route for Ohio State to make the college football playoff if they don't win every game. If you lose, whether you know any of these next two games, or you lose in the conference championship, you're done. I really do believe that. I don't think you can be 6-1 and earn a playoff berth. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's a must-win, obviously, for Ohio State. I will take the Buckeyes at home. Texas A&M, the number 5 Aggies, taking on Auburn. Texas A&M has been a surprise this year. 6-1 overall, which, of course, is all conference play. I'll take them over Auburn, 11 a.m. on ESPN. These are all Iowa times. Number 15, Oklahoma State. I'll take them over Horned Frogs of TCU, 11 a.m. on ESPN2. Number 17, North Carolina, taking on Western Carolina. I'll take the Tar Heels there, 11 a.m. on the ACC network. Number 21, Marshall, undefeated. Won't make the playoff, but they are undefeated. 11 a.m. on ESPN+. I will take the Thundering Herd. Texas and Kansas State, 11 a.m. on Fox. I will go with the Longhorns. Nebraska and Purdue, 11 a.m. BTN. I'll take Nebraska. They looked a lot better the last week against Iowa. Purdue did not look as good against Rutgers. I will take Big Red there. Penn State and Rutgers. Am I seeing this wrong? What am I looking at here? Yeah, Penn State Rutgers. I'll take Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers is on the upward trend. If they get a win here, 3-4, holy cow. Shiano's done a lot of good work for them this year. I will take the Scarlet Knights. That game is 11 a.m. on FS1. Coastal Carolina, the 18th ranked 9-0 Coastal Carolina. I'll take them over Liberty, but boy, this is going to be a fun one because Liberty's 9-1. On the verge of the top 25 as well. That game will be at 1 p.m. on ESPNU. Number 2, Notre Dame and Syracuse. I'll take the Irish, the Orange. Talk about a downward spiral, 1-9 on the year. That game will be at 1:30 p.m. on NBC. Number 6, Florida and Tennessee, 2:30 p.m. on CBS. I'll take the Gators. Number 9, Iowa State and West Virginia. I'm going to go West Virginia in the upset. I don't think it's going to affect Iowa State as far as Big 12 consideration, but I think West Virginia steals this one. 2:30 p.m. on ESPN. Number 12, Indiana, and number 16, Wisconsin. Should be a good one. We'll get a feel for both teams. Those could be Iowa's next two opponents. 2:30 p.m. on ABC. I will take Wisconsin simply because of the Penix injury. I'll take the Badgers. Number 24, Tulsa and Navy, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN2. I will take Tulsa. Number 8, Georgia playing host to 0-8 Vanderbilt. I'll take the Dogs easily in that one. Number 22, by the way, that game, 3 p.m. on SEC Network. Number 22, Washington taking on Stanford, 3 p.m. Fox. I will go with Washington in that one. North Carolina State and Georgia Tech, 3 p.m. on the ACC Network. I will go with the Yellow Jackets in the upset there. Number 23, Oregon and California. I've got to go Oregon. Cal's not looked good so far. 6 p.m. on ESPN. Colorado and Arizona. I've got the Buffalo. And that game will be at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Number 3, Clemson at Virginia Tech. I'll take Clemson easily. 6:30 p.m. on ABC. South Carolina and Kentucky. 6:30 p.m. on SEC Network. I'll take Kentucky. Number 1, Alabama at LSU. This will be closer than I think we expect. LSU 3-4 in the season, but they usually give Alabama a fight. I will take the Crimson Tide, but I would not be surprised if this game is close. 7 p.m. again on CBS. Number 10, Miami and Duke. 7 p.m. ACC Network. I'll take the Hurricanes of Miami. 7 p.m. on Fox for Baylor and Oklahoma. Number 11 in the country, Oklahoma. Oklahoma looks great right now. I think They're the favorites to win the Big 12, despite being 6-2. I will take the Sooners, 7 p.m. on Fox. Houston and SMU, I'll take SMU, 8 p.m. on ESPNU. And anything else here? Let's see. UCLA and Arizona State, I will take Arizona State, 9:30 p.m. Central Time on Fox Sports 1. As we mentioned, Northwestern Minnesota was canceled. Maryland Michigan was canceled. Kent State, Miami, Ohio. That's the only other game canceled right now. So a lot of games on tap this week, and the Big Ten looking foolish. I mean, half of the games canceled have been Big Ten games. The other two, or excuse me, two-thirds of the games this week have been canceled have been Big Ten games. You know, everybody thought this antigen testing, what the Big Ten did waiting, they thought it would be a good thing. I don't know what it's done. To me, they're having just as many cancellations, if not more, per capita than the rest of the conferences. And you know, you're on the verge of losing Ohio State in your championship game. You've already eliminated Iowa because of a stupid rule. I just think it's foolish. They look foolish, as they did back in September. Washington State, number 20, USC. That game will be on Sunday, 6:30 p.m. on FS1. I will take the Trojans there. Iowa, Illinois. That's the game on Saturday. Should be a good one. I mean, this is an underrated game. Illinois didn't look good the first game of the season against Wisconsin. I think everybody kind of panicked after that result. But boy, Illinois looked great against Nebraska. This is a good team when they've got full strength. And remember, as far as I'm aware here, Brandon Peters, their quarterback, is playing like he did against Nebraska. When he's playing, they're a different team. I'm going to take Iowa here. Just kind of a sneak preview there. As far as a key for Iowa, I'm not going to say it's QB play. I think they can win this game without Petras playing real well. But obviously, you want to see Petras or someone play well at quarterback. I think the key to this game is going to be ball security. Can Sargent, Goodson, Amir Smith-Marset had a fumble last week that thankfully didn't go Nebraska's way. Ball security, and I would include Petras in that. You can't be throwing the ball around against this team. They are good enough to where they will pick your pocket. Illinois also can run the ball. So if Iowa can't get the running game going, they lose if they lose in the trenches and Illinois can, you know, steal a turnover or two, this could easily be an Illinois victory. So this game I'm a lot less sure on than I was against Nebraska, although it didn't matter because Nebraska nearly won that game on Friday anyways. But I'm going to take Iowa. Again, protect the football. I'm going to take Iowa in a low-scoring contest, 24-21. I don't see this being a high-scoring game. I just don't. I hope it is because Iowa's got weapons everywhere. But as long as Petras is playing the way he's playing and they keep playing him, Iowa's going to be hampered. And, they got a lot of weapons. But if you don't have a way to get it to your weapons, then you can't be effective. So I will take Iowa 24-21. That game again this Saturday, the 5th of December on FS1, Fox Sports 1, 2:30 p.m. Central Time from Champaign, Illinois. Should be a good day in Champaign. Projected to be in the 40s temperature-wise, partly cloudy. So we've had pretty good weather for these. I mean, we were talking about weather being a concern. You know, with as late as Iowa was starting the season, boy, it has not been a concern at all. It's been over freezing like every game. I think maybe the Minnesota game got below freezing, maybe. But boy, it's been great weather, and we're 2 weeks from the end of the season. So, the weather has cooperated for the Big Ten, but not much else has. We will be back here in a few. By the way, one more note before we move on from football. Iowa was ranked in the college football playoff poll. We didn't mention this last week. Number 24. They're number 19 this week. It doesn't really matter. I don't even know why the college football playoff poll goes down to 25 when, it makes no difference. But Iowa is number 19. They've won four straight games. Well, they'll try to make it five straight on Saturday. We'll be back after a short break talking Iowa hoops here on Brattis Branded Thoughts Week 138. Are you a Hawkeye fan living in Story County? Do you feel isolated, like you're alone in a maze of red? Well, you're not the only one. And that's why we here at StoryCounty.news have launched a brand new section of our website, From the Hawkeye of the Storm, which will feature our weekly podcast, Brattis Branded Thoughts, as well as other Hawkeye-related content for all you Story County residents who bleed black and gold, or if you live in Western Iowa, Eastern Iowa, or somewhere else other than Ames and you're a Hawkeye fan, We love your support. All of our content is free. So again, give our Facebook page a follow, give it a like, and give our Twitter page a follow as well. @FromTheHawkeye, @FromTheHawkeye on Twitter. The more likes, the more follows, the more support we get, the more content we can continue to push out. And it's all free. It's From the Hawkeye of the Storm, hosted by StoryCounty.news for the best Hawkeye content in the area. Welcome back here to Brad's Branded Thoughts. Let's talk some college hoops. Iowa fully underway. They're 2-0 with wins over Southern University and North Carolina Central. I think the last time when we talked, it was actually before both of those games. So we've seen Iowa a couple times now. I think we've seen basically what we expected. Iowa with so many weapons on the outside. I mean, Garza being able to he kind of just manages despite double and triple teams, and now he seems to have become a better passer. We saw Bohannon, Frederick Wieskamp get a lot of open looks. Bohannon's missed quite a few, actually. I think he'll start to knock more down. Iowa's going to be, I don't know how people are going to stop Iowa offensively. Defensively is a different question. Iowa, I think, ranks right around 73, which was kind of what we expected defensively. Now, again, these are against inferior opponents. How will they play once they play the big boys of the Big Ten? And of course, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Iowa State coming up. That will be a question. But Iowa certainly looks good. We're going to learn a lot more this next Tuesday when they play North Carolina. Let's talk about some games this week, because Iowa does play Western Illinois on Thursday. We'll predict that game in just a couple of moments. But we've had some marquee games this week. I mean, first of all, Gonzaga has looked great this year. Iowa plays them on the 19th. They beat Kansas. They blew out. Who did they blow out? Played someone else and just destroyed them. Let me look that up real quick here. I mean, they looked tremendous. They play West Virginia tonight. That's going to be a game to watch. Yeah, they blew out Auburn, rated by 23. Now, I don't know what to make of Auburn, but to put up 90 on Auburn and 102 on Kansas, Gonzaga's a good, really good basketball team. They deserve to be number one right now. Already gone final today. On Monday, North Carolina, the team Iowa plays next Tuesday, went to 2-0 by beating UNLV. We saw Texas beat Davidson. Indiana has looked good, beat Providence by 21. We won't run through most of these. Minnesota, they're 3-0 after a tight win over Loyola Marymount. We saw Michigan survive the other night against Oakland, Michigan's thankful they didn't lose that game, because Oakland's been bad against everybody else they've played. Tuesday, there were some really good games on Tuesday. We've seen a lot more games during the day on Tuesday throughout these weeks than we typically would, despite the fact that, we have it's holiday season too, with Thanksgiving last week and Black Friday, but we still see more games even this week throughout the afternoon. Wisconsin looks great. They're up to number 4 in the country. By the way, Iowa shot up to number 3 in the country with their 2 wins. Villanova lost last week to Virginia Tech, and then we also saw Virginia lose. So Iowa really, just gets two kind of trademark wins. I mean, routine wins, and they move up to number 3 in the country behind Gonzaga and Baylor. But number 4, Wisconsin, looks good. I mean, blew out Green Bay by 40, held them to 42 points. Defense is typically their calling card. They look good again there. How about number 8, Michigan State? And if you're an Iowa fan, I want to make this very clear, because there's always this back and forth about, should Iowa root for Big Ten teams? There is no reason on this earth why, as an Iowa fan or as a fan of any other Big Ten school, you would not root for other Big Ten teams if they're not playing Iowa. There is no reason, okay? Anybody who says, I don't want Michigan State to do well because, I don't even know what the reason would be, that's foolish. You want the Big Ten to look as strong as possible. You want the Big Ten to be as strong as possible. That only helps Iowa's strength of schedule, strength of victories, and strength of losses, and helps them come March Madness time. So, a great win for Michigan State on the road at Cameron yesterday, 75-69. I didn't really expect this, because Michigan State has looked good but not great. But, boy, they beat Duke pretty handily. That game wasn't even as close as the score would indicate. So Michigan State looks like they're going to be right there. And how about the Big Ten in the top 10? Iowa at number 3, Wisconsin at 4, Illinois at 5, Michigan State at 8, and they're going to move up. I mean, after that win against Duke, they'll probably be a top 5 team. I don't know. I mean, the Big Ten's going to have like 3 or 4 teams. They've already got 3 teams in the top 5. They're going to have like 4 teams in the top 5. We'll see what happens with Illinois. I mean, if they lose, they beat Baylor tonight. Totally different story, but good win for Michigan State yesterday. Number 7, Kansas beat number 20, Kentucky, 65-62. A lot of other routine wins in the top 25. Again, we're not going to run through all of them. Purdue beat Oakland by 43. Washington, by the way, that Washington-UC Riverside game, that was a, I don't want to say a disgraceful performance, but UC Riverside beats Washington 57-42. They held Washington to 42 points in the win. By the way, UC Riverside lost to Pacific just a few days ago, 66-60. So Washington does not look good. Why the? And I don't want to play the transitive property here, but why is that significant? Well, Washington played Baylor the other night, who of course is ahead of Iowa in the rankings, and Baylor looked dominant. But now that Washington got blown out by UC Riverside, I don't know how much that means. So, you know, it's early on in the season for a lot of these teams, and who knows who's going to get figured out at what point. UC Riverside did beat Washington yesterday. Let's see here. Oklahoma State beat Marquette 70-62. Nebraska, Fred Hoiberg, they're 3-1. They did lose to Steve Alford in Nevada a few days ago, but they beat South Dakota yesterday 76-69. Number 17, Texas did beat Indiana. Impressive win for Texas. Texas looks good right now because Indiana looks good, and they beat Indiana by 22, 66-44. The team that Iowa plays next Tuesday, number 14, North Carolina, they beat Stanford 67-63. They're now 3-0. Providence beat Davidson 63-62. Alabama over UNLV 86-74. And then today is when the real – I mean, obviously the Michigan State Duke and Kansas-Kentucky games were big. But, boy, I think even more intriguing games. Right now, as we record this game, Indiana, or this podcast, Indiana about to close the door on Stanford. Another good win for them. Trace Jackson Davis, 31 points thus far, 6 boards, 2 assists. That kid, remember, he was recruited by Iowa. He's on a different level right now. He's going to be pushing guards, I think, for player of the year consideration in the Big Ten. 77-63, the lead for Indiana over Stanford late in the second half. Army leads Florida. That would be an upset, although Army is 3-0, 39-31 at halftime. Morehead State and number 23 Ohio State, that game at 4 p.m. today on Big Ten Network. VCU plays Penn State, 4 p.m. on FS1. St. John's and BYU at 4 o'clock on ESPN2. Number 11, West Virginia. Here's the one of the big games tonight. Number 11, West Virginia, undefeated at 3-0. They're on the road taking on, they're at Indiana. They're in Indiana at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, taking on the Zags of Gonzaga. I don't know what to make of that game. West Virginia's looked great, but so was Gonzaga. If you're an Iowa fan, you're rooting for Gonzaga because again, Iowa plays Gonzaga. You want Gonzaga to be undefeated, number one in the country when they do play Iowa in a couple weeks. That game will be at 6 o'clock Iowa time on ESPN. Ball State and Michigan, 6 p.m. on BTN. South Dakota State and Iowa State. Iowa State kind of had a scare early against Arkansas Pine Bluff the other night, but they pulled it out. They'll play South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, tonight, 6 p.m. on ESPN+. Let's see here. Seton Hall, Rhode Island, 6 p.m. CBS Sports Network. Providence, Alabama, 6 p.m. ESPN2. Let's see. What else we got? North Florida and number 22, Florida State, 7 p.m. on the ACC Network. And we've got one other big game. I know we'll get to it here eventually. Missouri and number 21, Oregon, 8 p.m. on FS1. And I'm not picking, as you can notice, I'm not picking all these games. There's just too many games to sort through, but just kind of give you an idea what to watch for. Arkansas Pine Bluff will play Northwestern. Northwestern's first game of the season tonight, BTN at 8 o'clock. This could be a fun one. Steve Alford in Nevada taking on San Francisco, the team that beat Virginia a few days ago, at 8 o'clock tonight. Here's the marquee game of the day. Number 5, Illinois at number 2, Baylor. This is another game in the Jimmy V Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. 9 p.m., late game from Indianapolis. Again, the number 5 Illini and the number 2 Baylor Bears. Of course, you're Iowa. I think you're rooting for Illinois. You always root for the Big Ten teams. I don't know why you wouldn't. That game again. 9 o'clock Iowa time on ESPN. Number 12, Villanova taking on St. Joe's. That game has been postponed. And several others postponed. I guess we won't go through all of these games, but just to kind of give you an idea. And then Thursday, I think there's more marquee games Thursday. Let me look through the schedule. Obviously, Iowa, I guess there's not really any marquee games on Thursday. Washington plays Utah. Let's see. Maybe there is a game or two. By the way, congratulations to Cordell Pemsl. Had a great game the other night for Virginia Tech, and they're up to number 16 in the country. Drake plays Omaha on Thursday. How about Drake? I mean, they go down to Kansas State and get a win over the Wildcats down there. They're 2-0. They'll take on Omaha tomorrow, ESPN3, 7 p.m. Let's see. You don't see anything else, really. Number 25, Arizona State. They are at California. Pac-12 showdown early there, 9 p.m. on, I don't even have a network for that one, but the Sun Devils and Cal. And let's see. That's basically it for Thursday. More games Friday and Saturday and Sunday. A lot of good games this week, but let's pick the Iowa game. We've hit the Thursday schedule, Iowa-Western Illinois. Western Illinois hasn't played a game yet, so we don't really know what to make of them. They did finish towards the bottom of their conference last year. So, obviously, I'm taking Iowa. As far as keys here, I'm assuming Jack Nungy will be back with the team. Thoughts and prayers to him and his family. Man, what a rough time that kid has had. And 2 years ago, he sits out to try to get his body in better shape, comes back after getting bigger, stronger, tears his knee, works all the way back, 5 days away from the most hyped Iowa basketball season and maybe the history of Iowa basketball. And he gets a call the night after he talked to his dad, gets a call the next morning that his dad passed away in his sleep. I mean, just tragic isn't even fair. I mean, that's not even a good enough word to use. So I don't know if Jack's back with the team, but if he is, we sure hope that he can get back in the flow of things. I think just getting Iowa going defensively, they got to be ready for North Carolina. I mean, this next stretch, North Carolina, Iowa State, Gonzaga, it's going to blindside them, but you know, they play North Carolina, Central, Southern. Those are two good teams. Western Illinois is not that great, at least we don't think they are. I mean, you better be ready. So I think Iowa needs to really focus defensively. I'm going to say that probably every game this year, defense is going to be the key. By the way, Gonzaga will score 100 on you if you're not. I mean, Kansas found that out the hard way. They'll score 100 plus on you if you're not careful. Iowa's defense better be ready in that game. But I will take Iowa. Again, key to the game, defense. Rebounding was a problem this last game. North Carolina's very efficient rebounding the ball from what we've seen thus far, so that will be something I'm sure Fran is emphasizing to the guys. I will take Iowa 98, Western Illinois 68. I hope Iowa can hold them to under 68. If they give up 70 or more points, I don't think that's a good sign. I just don't. But again, I don't know what to make of Western Illinois. Luka Garza is just going to dominate, I'm sure. I mean, the guy had 36 points in the first half, first 17 minutes of the game against Southern. He's averaging 33.5 right now. I mean, he didn't even hardly play the second half. He had 41. I think it was 41, right? He would have had 60. I mean, seriously, would have had 60 in his sleep. But again, defensively is where Iowa needs to really focus its attention. All right, that will do it for this edition of Brad's Branded Thoughts. Iowa, Western Illinois, Thursday night, the 3rd of December. Can't believe we're already into December. But a vaccine is on the way. Keep staying safe. We've got probably a few months before everybody's going to be able to have access to a vaccine. Until then, keep practicing social distancing. Wear your masks. Maybe we'll get some fans at the end of the season. I mean, the season will go into March. Maybe we'll get some fans come NCAA tournament time or Big Ten tournament time. That would be spectacular. Wouldn't that be great? And the way you're going to help that is by wearing your masks, being smart, even if you don't think that masks do anything, which I don't know what science you're relying on to prove that other than, you know, something that fits your own agenda. Wear a mask for other people. The numbers that are going up, that have gone up, the month of November was extremely messy as far as COVID numbers. That's only hurting your cause. If you want to see your favorite sports teams, then obviously that shouldn't be your primary motivation. The primary motivation for wearing a mask should be to protect the people around you. But if you need extra motivation, I mean, maybe we get some fans in these arenas late in the year. But it's not going to happen unless people practice social distancing, wear their masks. Vaccine's on the way, but it's not going to be here. I mean, people are going to start getting vaccinated, I think, within a few weeks here. But it's going to take time to get everybody give everybody that opportunity. So we shall see what we shall see coming up in the Big Ten. Again, Iowa, Western Illinois, 7 p.m. Thursday on the Big Ten Network from Iowa City, Iowa, Carver Hawkeye Arena. There won't be any fans there, but parents will be rooting hard for their kids, and we'll sure be rooting hard from home. By the way, final in the Indiana game, 79-63, an impressive win for the Hoosiers. In football, Iowa, Illinois, 2:30 p.m. Saturday on Fox Sports 1, the Illini and the Hawkeyes. Hawkeyes looking to make it 5 straight games. Iowa basketball's won 2 straight. Iowa football's won 4 straight. It's a good time to be a Hawkeye fan. And stay inside as much as you can. That way you can watch the Hawks and stay safe. We'll talk to you on week 139 coming up next week, where we'll be previewing some big college basketball games and a big game, big football game against Wisconsin. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you next week. Go Hawks.